Today is June 21st, 2018, and this is episode number 467 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I am luscious. Get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast. You can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note over at facebook.com/groups/context machine.
And then you too can get to experience Brian and all of his luscious goodness.
Indeed. Although my luscious goodness today is definitely tempered. Hold on.
So the awesome thing is Brian just muted because he's coughing his brains out. Brian's a sick boy today, and yet he's still here doing the show, which also accounts for why we're a day late today. And I thought he was back. He muted again. I'm giving you a running story. This,
yeah,
people, is how sausage spews out of your head. I mean, is made.
We could just start over, but, you know, no but, time for that.
No, that's what professionals do. Not us.
No, let me tell you. So I am sick. Yesterday, I felt like I had just my head inside a hyperbaric pressure tank.
Uh-huh.
And with about like three apnoes pushing down on my head.
Mm-hmm.
Today, I do feel much better. And we are, in fact, delayed by a day because I was, I am still sick. But I am here. And the best thing is that Jeff's going to be kept guessing on when I mute.
It's going to be awesome. And so when Brian, you are done coughing, I really want you to say something like, why don't you rub my bunions for me? I'll give you a quarter.
Give us a light, would you, sugar? And you, Jimmy, come over here, would you? Would you rub my bunions? I'll give you a quarter.
That's just wonderful. You know what? I can do the outro bumper, and we can call it good. I think that's just a quality show right there.
Yeah, that's something, at least.
Yeah, well, actually, we couldn't call it a show yet, because we do have a sponsor this week, and that sponsor is LinkedIn Jobs.
Oh, yeah. And you know that bunions are what they want to sponsor.
Yeah.
That and, you know, picking up people at a bar. I will look at you. You're new. There's not even a rind on you. Not much of one, at least.
Oh, my God. But
I really pictured that Westworld quote. My God. Oh. Do you watch Westworld?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was quoting the Clementine's line.
Yeah, I know. Just
yeah. No, I was badly quoting.
I know.
Oh, Clementine's, I know, line.
Yeah, I haven't seen this last week's show yet.
Yeah, I'm a few episodes behind. I only started watching it like 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, something at the most.
Really?
So yeah, I didn't start season one until like three episodes into. So I'm still a little bit behind.
Wow.
Good show. I like it.
I really like it. I think it's a really well done show. Despite your version of Clementine.
Look at you. Not much of a rind on you.
Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, this is a preview of what's to come here for the next few tens of minutes.
Yeah. Well.
So did you write up this iPhone car thing?
Car I did. Thing?
Okay, what's the actual story? Because I'm judging my preparation for talking about it based on the headline.
Oh, okay. Well, I almost don't want to fill you in on the details, just because of that. So
yeah, but okay. let's do it anyway, though.
Well, we'll start with the headline, just so people know what you want to base your entire discussion off of.
Yeah.
Apple wants your iPhone to be your car key.
Okay.
So here's the deal. Apple is part of a group called the Car Connectivity Consortium. And there's a lot of companies in there, a lot of tech companies, a lot of automotive companies. And the Car Connectivity Consortium just announced a new standard that they're working on called Digital Key 2.0. Mm-hmm. So it uses NFC as the link point, and then you can use a smartphone, or it could be some other electronic device that, you know, like maybe you have an electronic key system thing. But, you know, for what Apple would do with this, and probably other smartphone makers, this would use your smartphone as the system to unlock your car and also to activate the ignition. So, you know, it turns your car on and off, just like a regular key does. And so the idea is that you can pair your phone with your car. If you have friends or family that need to have access to your car, you can grant them access. You can also grant them temporary access, which to me sounds like a really cool thing for car rental companies. So they could have a fleet of cars, and you get your car rental agreement, and now your iPhone lets you into the car and drive the car while your contract is valid. So that's a very condensed version.
Okay, well, that all makes sense. Yeah, I have some immediate concerns there.
Okay,
for one, we lose iPhones, so I wouldn't want this to replace my key.
Sure.
And I'm assuming, by the way, that Face ID would be, you have to unlock the phone at the very least.
Yeah, I'm sure you'd have to unlock your phone.
At least Apple would do that.
Yeah, you would at least need to authenticate in some way, with Apple Pay.
Right. And that's, you know, that's great, although it does, you know, like keyless cars where you just need to have the key with you,
mm-hmm.
and your car will start. Those systems seem to me a little more convenient than having to unlock my phone. But you know, that's fine. But then, like, what if your phone gets lost, or worse, what if your phone loses power and now you can't get home?
You know, the losing power, that seems like a bigger issue to me, because people lose their car keys all the time. What do? You don't have your
car keys. Yeah, but like my sister, for instance, my little sister recently had her iPhone stolen at a bar.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, yeah, and especially, you know, it's at a bar at night. You know, it was a weekend night, late at night, and you know, now she needs to get home, and now she can't get into her car, too.
Oh, what if they'd stolen her purse? Now she's lost her phone and her keys.
Yes, this is true. That's a very fair point. I don't know that she was carrying a purse, or the phone probably would have been in the purse. But, you know, and we do on a much more, having our iPhone stolen, or losing our iPhone, or even leaving the phone behind somewhere, is certainly a lot less common than running out of power. And that seems like it would potentially be a problem.
Yeah, you know, I get what you're saying, but it doesn't seem like a problem that's any different from what we already have with any kind of car key.
I would argue that we might start noticing some of these other issues a lot more if our transportation also depended on it. Of course, you know, looking further afield, as you know, we have both argued that the future is ride sharing.
Sure. And in that case, your iPhone or smartphone as your car key makes sense.
Well, it wouldn't be your car.
It wouldn't be your car, but it opens up the door on the car you're supposed to get in.
Yeah, that's true. That would certainly be. Good.
Yeah, the problem I'm seeing today with using our smartphones as the unlock mechanism for our cars, we're seeing with Teslas. You know, like someone, because you can do this with a Tesla today. So you get in your car. You start driving, away you go, you're doing your thing, and And there are reports about people who like go on an afternoon drive. And so they're out in the middle of nowhere. They stop the car to have a picnic. When they go to get back in, because they don't have a cell signal, they can't, their car can't authenticate to make sure that the iPhone can unlock it.
Yeah, Apple would do that better, because the thing there would be for before the iPhone to use either Bluetooth or NFC.
Yeah,
and the authentication is being done on the thing is being done on authentication would be done on Apple Secure Enclave.
Right.
Doesn't need a connection.
Right. So
Apple would certainly do that a lot better than that situation. And that's actually just sloppy on Tesla's part.
It really is. Yeah. And since Apple is one of the companies that's involved in creating the standard, that could be something that applies to other phones too. So it wouldn't just be Apple that's using this better system for authenticating to let you into your car and turn it on.
Okay, what about locking the car and making the horn beep? So now I've got to get my phone out. I've got to open my phone. I've got to find the app, and I've got to push the buttons to make the phone to make my car beep so I can find it in the parking garage, or look at look at the map to. I would imagine that location would be even more closely integrated with this.
You were so iOS 11. Because by the time this is something we can actually use, we'll be on iOS 13. Yes. And with iOS 12, we have shortcuts. So imagine saying, hey, where's my car? And it goes,
yeah,
boop, boop, beep, and the lights come on.
Yep. And hey, S lady, start my car. Yeah. I like starting my car while I'm still walking to it, because then the engine has time to splash around. And I could just get in and go without putting unnecessary wear and tear on the engine from you know, getting in and going when it's getting in and starting and going, which is what most people do.
Yeah, and
right. Yeah, so you're totally right. That would be great. I would certainly do this. I know I'm being a little bit of kind of playing the role of John Martellaro of resisting change, but
love you, John. You know, someone has to do it when John's not here.
Someone. But this is something I would do, and I hate carrying keys in my pocket.
So do I.
I hate having a lot of keys in my pocket.
I was at a Mac user group, Denver Apple Pie, earlier this week. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the meeting, you know, I've packed up all my stuff, people are chatting with me, and it's time to leave. And I stop, I look around, I said, oh, where are my keys? And like three people looked at me and said, you use keys? They were all stunned that I actually have car keys for my car. And now, to be fair, I drive a 2000 Volvo cross-country station wagon. So,
well, I've got a much newer car. I need keys.
And
how many people? How many people have cars that don't need keys?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. I know plenty of people that have cars where they can just leave the keys in their pocket, like you said, and proximity. You know, you put your hand on the door latch and it opens. You push the button inside the car, and because of the proximity of the keys, it just works. But yeah, I don't think I know personally any Tesla owners.
Sure.
Although
I do because I live in Silicon Valley.
Yeah. And, Elon Musk's brother, he lives in Boulder. He has some restaurants, mm-hmm. and he drives a blue Tesla around. And so I see him, around occasionally because his restaurant,
but you don't know him.
No, but I see him. So it's like, I know him.
It's like, it's as if it's totally as if you know him.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
All right. Well, so one way or another, especially with Siri shortcuts, and especially with Apple in charge of security, like I certainly wouldn't want to trust an Android device to do this sort of thing. And I have every confidence in the world that Android devices will be hacked to that you'd be able to, oh, wait a minute. Could you, Whether or not Apple was doing it.
Well, okay. So the hack that I can
visualize. You hear where I'm going that I'm not saying?
Yeah, I hear where you're going. And since your voice is rough today, I'll kind of fill sexy. In the blank. Since your voice is so sexy today, I'll fill in the blanks. So what if someone had some device or an app on their own smartphone where they could hack into your car without you being around, and then they steal your car?
Right, which is possible today with a lot of electronic
right
locks.
Right. And so that's something that they would have to address. Now, if you're doing this where it requires Secure Enclave to do the authentication.
Yeah, but Apple's the only one doing that.
Exactly. So while Apple could make their side of the authentication process more secure by the nature of Secure Enclave, you still have the car side, which has to be whatever open standard that all the car manufacturers are using, which isn't Secure Enclave.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and that is essentially where I was going. I trust Apple to get this right. I wouldn't trust any other makers to get this right.
Well, then you're going to have a problem, because we have to trust the car manufacturers to get it right. And that's true, but that they don't get security right.
But I would trust Apple to handle the smartphone aspect.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Apple's a company that I think can get the smartphone side of an electronic car key right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And in general, it would be great. I mean, there's definitely room for problems, but there are room for problems with the current systems. You know, you can lose your keys. You can set your keys down. You can actually have your keys stolen at a bar too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your keys aren't going to run out of power. Well, I don't know. I guess the battery. I've never had a car key battery expire, which is weird. Like my current one is like 6 years old, 7 years old, six and a half years old.
I had to replace my battery, but my car's 18 years old.
Right. Right. So, there's room for issues within our current systems. I think that Apple could make this really, really transparent and easy. And with Siri shortcuts, it could be even easier. You might not even need a shortcut. This kind of system, you might not need a shortcut to get Siri to beep your horn.
Right.
Or,
it would just be built into what, the S Lady can do.
It could be built into it.
Yeah. Well, I like to think positive about these things. And here's a nice upsell for people buying iPhones. You know how you can do Apple Pay from your Apple Watch? Why not let your Apple Watch be your key if your iPhone battery's dead?
Yeah,
and Apple Watch has NFC.
And Apple would surely do.
Of course. Yeah. It's Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that, you know, if Apple's going to do effectively infinite transactions, or at least transactions until we run out of money with our Apple Watch, I'm sure they would let us start a car with it.
Yeah, I would be shocked if we couldn't do that. So, what are you thinking? Are you warming up to the idea of our iPhones and Apple Watches as our car keys?
I was instantly warm. I was just, in particular, my sister having her phone stolen, her iPhone stolen at a bar. You know, I did immediately go to worrying about that particular scenario. But to your point, there's plenty of room for mischief as it is.
Yeah.
It may be different forms of mischief, but it probably won't be greater mischief, and the benefits could more than outweigh the opportunities for mischief. The convenience factor. It depends on, like if we had to use Face ID just starter car every single time, that could be annoying.
Yeah, and that actually would be annoying. I mean, can you imagine? Okay, so you know how John Martellaro gives me a hard time about having voice control for my lights?
We're being jerks to him, and he's not even here.
Well, yeah, but...
wait, that's right. I'm not just meeting us. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay, so John gives me a hard time about having all these HomeKit automation things to turn lights on when I come home and being able to speak to my lights. And one of the things that I tossed out to him as a reason why this is nice is because I can walk into my place with my arms full of groceries and the lights are just on. And he gives me a hard time about, oh, well, you know, it's just so hard to set down a bag of groceries and flip a light switch.
Yeah, I violently disagree with his attitude about that.
And I disagree
violently,
with that
too. I violently disagree with that attitude.
But with your car, it's an even stronger argument. If I walk up to my car and I have bags of groceries, and now I have to dig out my keys and hit the button, if you're really old school, stick it in the lock and turn it, and having something where I can just walk up to the car and open the door is really nice.
No, but what if instead though you have to walk up to the car? Well, I guess if it was your Apple Watch, I was about to actually go the other route with this and say that what if you had to get to your car and pull out your phone and authenticate via Face ID before you could even open the doors? That would suck, especially in the scenario where we've got our hands full of bags.
Yeah.
Or boxes or whatever.
Yeah. When you brought that up at the beginning of this segment, my first thought was, no big deal. But I've already talked myself way out of that. This is not a set your stuff down and Face ID so that you can open your door. You need to be able to just walk up and pull the door open because you're in proximity.
Which seems like you should be able to do with Apple Watch.
Yeah.
Because the Apple Watch was authenticated when you started it up.
Right. So, yeah. All right. Well, I'm still liking this idea, and
I'm liking it if we can get the Apple Watch like functionality that's still safe, because we don't want people to be able to just take our phones and steal our cars too.
Right.
We definitely don't want that.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That's just salt in the wound. You took my phone, and now you walk through the parking lot until you find a car door that opens and drive away.
Right. And this is where the Apple Pay analogy comes in, because someone can't steal my Apple Watch and then go, buy Whole Foods out.
Right. Because they don't know the passcode to get into your watch.
Right.
Yep. All right. I see where you're going. So maybe if you have just a phone, you have to do Face ID to authenticate to open up your car and turn it on. But if you have an Apple Watch, you don't.
Right.
Okay. I'll accept that.
But you would have to, I mean, and we're using Face ID. That is the future, right?
Yes. Apple's made it clear this is what they want for everything. They want Face ID, not Touch ID. So at some point, we're not going to have Touch ID capable iPhones anymore. It'll all be Face ID. So
I agree.
Yeah. And while we've been sitting here tossing around ideas about how we think this could be used securely, I'm betting our listeners have other ideas too. So I would love, and Brian would too, if he wasn't coughing his brains out, love for you to share your ideas on how Apple could use the iPhone and the iPad, iPhone and Apple Watch, so many devices, as a keyless entry and ignition system for our cars. And keep
it secure. Have it be both safe and convenient.
Yes. So you can let us know on our Facebook group. So that's facebook.com/contextmachine.
Yep.
And or you can send us emails. Context. Wait, what is our email? Is it Context Machine? No, it's acm@macobserver.com.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Or comments in the show notes.
Yeah, that'll work too.
Yes.
Or you can tweet us.
Or you can tweet us at the Tweety Box, which is what? At Context Machine?
Yeah. I don't think we're supposed to give people too many options. That's apparently a bad strategy.
Oh.
So let's just.
So you can let us know how you feel and what ideas you have on our Facebook page, facebook.com/contextmachine.
facebook.com/groups/contextmachine.
Why don't they just make that easier?
I don't know. Why does Facebook do a lot of things they do?
I don't know.
Mark Zuckerberg doesn't have the wisdom.
No.
To use all the power that he has.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like telling Kylo Ren he's a Darth. He's just too young.
He's just too young. Yeah. It's true. All right. So, here we have a sponsor.
We do have a sponsor. And that's,
LinkedIn has been sponsoring us.
Yeah, LinkedIn Jobs. So here's the deal. Let's say you're a business owner, or you're the person at a business who needs to find the right person to fill a new job. And you're thinking, I need to have someone that's actually really qualified to do this job, as opposed to someone that we just kind of hope is going to be able to do what we need. So how do you go about that? Well, you probably throw a job posting up on a bunch of different sites, job posting boards, and hope for the best. Or you use LinkedIn Jobs. And the reason you would want to use LinkedIn Jobs is because we already have 70% of the U.S. workforce using LinkedIn, and that the candidates that you get hunting for jobs through LinkedIn tend to be far more qualified for a position than someone who just finds you on a random job posting board. So just by the nature of using LinkedIn Jobs, you've created a scenario where you have a higher likelihood of finding the right person the first time, which is really great because that's what you want. So here's what you can do. Because you are an Apple Context Machine listener, and thank you, by the way, for being an Apple Context Machine listener, you're going to get a $50 discount off your first job posting. So here's what you need to do. Go to linkedin.com/ACM and get $50 off your first job post. That's linkedin.com/ACM for $50 off, and terms and conditions apply. And thank you to LinkedIn Jobs for being our sponsor. Oh,
yeah. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yes, indeed. All right.
That's so good stuff.
We had something else to talk about, right?
Yeah, we did. We the App Store monopoly.
Oh, right. Yeah. So the Supreme Court is going to listen or hear the arguments and in this lawsuit that was brought against Apple, claiming that the App Store, the iOS App Store, is a monopoly and shouldn't be.
Nope. Nope.
Is that not the case?
Nope. The Supreme Court is going to decide whether or not the case can go forward.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're going to
they're not going to hear the arguments of the case. They're going to hear the arguments of whether or not the case
can go forward. Oh, I see. You didn't let me finish my statement. I was only halfway through.
Oh,
when sorry. You noped me. But that's okay. You finished the rest of the statement for me, so there you go. I'll just call it teamwork. So, so what we have right now is a group of people saying that it's not fair that Apple has the App Store as this exclusive platform for getting apps onto our iOS devices. And they think that there should be other application type stores that iPhone and iPad owners can go to. make purchases. And they say because Apple has this monopoly on the App Store, that we as iOS device users are paying far more than we need to for apps. And to that statement, I'm going to pull out a balderdash, because holy crap, Apple pioneered or championed the race to the bottom on pricing. 99-cent apps, developers yep. don't make money.
Yeah, you know, like, just get a there's nothing about this that has any remote resemblance to reality. And keep your hands off my App Store. Matter of fact, keep your hands off my iPhone. If you want openness, go to another freaking platform, man. This is not rocket science. And it's not a freaking monopoly. Apple doesn't have monopoly. Apple is a minority player in the smartphone space.
And well, and saying Apple has a monopoly on the App Store to me feels a little bit like saying Apple has a monopoly on iPhone production.
Right. It's so ridiculous. Yeah. It's so ridiculous. I hate this. If you don't like Apple's walled garden, go somewhere awesome like Android and Google Play. Go enjoy your malware. Right? Go enjoy your crap. Go enjoy your non-curated apps and revel in how much more awesome it is that your phones don't ever get updated, which is whatever, man.
Yeah. Oh, crap. There's another lawsuit. Apple has a monopoly on iOS system updates.
Yes, they do. They shouldn't have to get their iOS updates from Apple. They should be able to get it from anybody.
Okay. So I'm going to play devil's advocate for a moment.
All right.
We're not talking about making a specific product like an iPhone. And so, of okay, course, by the Apple... way,
I feel like my head is being stuffed back into the hyperbaric chamber. But go ahead.
Yeah. I have this image of you wearing like a 1940s big glass bubble space helmet with antennas on it. And there's a hose coming off and it's just pumping more and more pressure in and yeah. squishing. Anyhow, so when we're talking about a specific product like an iPhone, I think it's a lot easier to make the argument that only Apple gets to make an iPhone. It's their own product. So on the devil's advocate side.
No, hold on. But people have argued this about Mac. Like they should be able to, you know, the Apple should have to license it or should license it out. And yeah, Apple is a monopoly on Mac.
Which is a ridiculous argument as well. So, but when you're buying something that you're going to use on the iPhone, let's equate it for a moment to a grocery store. I don't have to go to one specific grocery store to get the groceries that I can eat. I can choose between grocery stores. So yes. I can see where some people would look at that as a valid comparison to the App Store and say, well, look, I can shop at Piggly Wiggly. Is that still a thing? Please tell me Piggly Wiggly still
exists. It is in some markets it still exists.
Okay, so I can shop at Piggly Wiggly. I can shop at Whole Foods. Or I can shop at one of the many Kroger subsidiaries. And I can buy the same food at all of those places to a degree. So why can't I do the same thing with apps for my iPhone?
Yeah, because Apple's whole widget model is better. Thank you. If you don't want that model, go somewhere else. There are plenty of Android choices out there.
Yeah, it's...
The end.
The end. All right, I'll just hit the bumper and we'll wrap up. yet, to me, this is not the same thing as the grocery store argument. Because what you're doing is you're buying not just a device, you're buying a platform. And the whole platform includes hardware, operating system, and other software. So the apps that you put onto the device. And it's a controlled system. So if you don't want to participate in that controlled system, you don't have to buy an iPhone. And you can buy, say, a Samsung or an HTC phone or whatever Google is making at the moment, and get into, as you said earlier, Brian, the Android or Google Play app stores and just get your stuff that way. So now we have the Supreme Court listening to the arguments about whether or not this case should be allowed to go forward.
And right. So a lower court said no, and an appeals court said yes. So Apple is, plaintiffs appealed the lower court's ruling, and Apple is appealing the appellate ruling.
Right, which takes us to the U.S. Supreme Court.
Right.
So, man, I don't know which way the Supreme Court's going to rule on this.
But I would imagine I expect them a strong majority to say no, and to say no to the case going forward,
and rule in favor of business in this case.
It's not even in favor of business, quote unquote. It's in favor of the business, but it's not really even in favor of business per se. I mean, Apple's a minority player in the smartphone market. Any ruling from, of course, you know, we were spectacularly wrong about the DOJ's case against Apple for iBooks.
Oh, holy
crap. We were wrong about how Judge Coate, a very respected jurist, very highly respected jurist, very, 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 very capable woman. We were wrong about how she would rule. We were wrong about how the appeals process would go. We were wrong about how the Supreme Court would rule.
Well, in our defense, top legal experts totally got it wrong, too.
Yeah, that's true. We weren't the only people wrong, and some of them actually know what they're talking about. So, you know, that's great, I suppose. But in this particular case, Apple is a minority player. I mean, any eventual ruling against Apple here is basically saying you can't have a walled garden.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The ramifications of ruling in favor of the plaintiffs in this case. Yeah, that sets a precedent where moving forward, you really can't have walled off app stores.
Right. And authoritarian regimes and criminals the world over will celebrate.
Sure. Yeah. I could see oppressive governments, rogue governments, creating their own app stores.
Well, I mean, we've already seen them creating their own apps in the jailbroken community.
Right.
And they like China targeted all kinds of dissidents in Hong Kong, in particular, for instance, and China released it was brilliant in its evilness, but China released an app on Cydia for organizing protests against China, but you know, without saying that this is us, and so right. You know, all the student protesters who were protesting changes that China was bringing to Hong Kong. A lot of these activists were using, and China was able to use it to find and arrest them.
Yeah. It's insidious and I hate to say it, at the same time, it was also a very clever, move, but oh my God, what a horribly.
Yeah. It was extremely clever. But you know, it was only possible on the jailbroken phones. So criminals, you know, listen, a walled garden is awesome. The whole widget is awesome. And if you don't want the whole widget, go somewhere else. Apple has a minority share, a small minority share of the smartphone. If you mm-hmm. don't like the rules, go somewhere else. Go enjoy freaking Android. And like, and just like, but I like my iPhone. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, part of the reason people like their iPhones is because they get software updates on a regular basis and they don't have to deal with malware and other viruses. At least not to the scale that Android users do.
Yep. Yeah. So I don't know. My opinion on the Supreme Court ruling strongly about not allowing the case to go forward is really predicated more on the idea of it being a ruling against walled gardens. And I'm not a lawyer, never played one on TV, but I can't see any validity to that notion. I can't see any validity to walled gardens not being allowed. That doesn't make any sense to me. Without an actual monopoly in a market, like if an entire market was controlled by one company and there were no competitors whatsoever, and the walled garden was being used to keep out competitors, that would be a different set of arguments. But the reality is that Apple has a tiny share of the smartphones.
Yeah, that's true. There is plenty of competition out there for Apple. So, this is not a walled garden where Apple's controlling the market. Apple's controlling their operating system and hopefully in the process controlling the quality of apps that we have access to, meaning we don't get malware.
Right. Right. And that works for me.
I'm on board. I am okay with that
too. And how much cheaper do you want your apps to be, man? I mean,
the only way they can be cheaper is if you download the app and then the developer sends you money.
That is funny in a very not funny way.
Yeah.
I mean, I do have a little more empathy along the lines of Spotify's complaint. You know, when you're talking about apps for services where there are no margins, to me, it makes more sense for Apple to carve out exceptions. Mm-hmm. And I think that Apple has an unfair competitive advantage against Spotify on iOS because Apple's 30% app cut goes to Apple and Spotify's 30% app cut goes to Apple. So I have a little more empathy for that, but to me, the solution to that problem is exceptions, not throwing out the whole widget model in entirety.
Sure. And it's not like companies that want to sell products are just basically screwed. I mean, Amazon, they just did the thing where, like, for the Amazon books, mm-hmm. where you can browse and look for stuff and tag it as stuff you want, but then you have to go to a web browser to make your purchase.
Right. Yeah. I think that Apple's cutting off its nose to spite its face there too. And that is a clever workaround on Amazon's part, but to me, Apple should make iOS the premier destination for shopping on Amazon.
Yeah. Well, aside from the bookstore and their music store and their videos. Okay. Aside from all that other stuff, I mean, you can buy anything you want in the Amazon shopping app.
So, yeah, I constantly forget that.
And
because Apple carved out an exception,
right? So right. They could carve out an exception for
let's just leave that out.
It's already
edited. We don't need to know. I don't need anybody to know that I'm sometimes an idiot. I mean, they probably know anyway.
I think this is their first inclination. I'm assuming it's the same for me.
So I do. I constantly forget that. I constantly forget that Apple fixed that particular problem a long time ago.
Yeah. And I do shop in the Amazon app on my iPhone and iPad all the time.
Yeah. Well, it's not the web app, right? It's the App Store app.
It's the literal App Store app.
Yeah. Okay.
As a matter of fact, I bought an extension cord in the app on my iPhone today.
I see.
Amazon is sending me a $2.98 extension cord in the mail.
Nice.
It's probably costing more to ship than I paid for the product.
Oh, that does seem possible. So listen, Mama'd like to sit here all night talking to you, maybe, you know, snuggling up next to each other on the bar with the pretzels, maybe sharing a cigarette.
Yeah.
But I gotta go.
All right. Well, then maybe there'll be another day we can snuggle up at the bar and share a gin, cheap vodka, and a cigarette. Yeah. Oh, Brian, I'm just kind of creeped out a little bit now.
You're welcome, audience.
And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by Cashfly. The bass was recorded by Boom. Just for TMO, and that's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer, unless maybe, of course, you see us first.